This interview with Roy Cohen, entitled Switching Between the Sell Side and the Buy Side, was recorded on 20 October 2010.
I'm Julia Van Deren, the Career Services Representative at CFA Institute, and I'm speaking today with Roy Cohen. This podcast is part of the CFA Institute Career Services Library. Roy is a career coach and author of the recently published The Wall Street Professional Survival Guide, Success Secrets of a Career Coach. Hi, Roy.
Hi there, Julia. Thanks so much for inviting me to participate in this podcast.
Thank you. So, recently published the book. Tell me a little bit about the book and what prompted you to write it.
Well, the book is called The Wall Street Professional Survival Guide, and I had the good fortune for many years to work with folks who were transitioning on Wall Street. For about 14 years, I was the point person for folks leaving Goldman Sachs, often on an involuntary basis, and I have a lot of experience, and given the meltdown that's occurred in the markets over the last couple of years, I felt that I really had a responsibility to share some of that knowledge and insight with folks who were in transition. And it's been a wonderful experience and a great platform for broadcasting what people need to do to protect themselves professionally if they either work on Wall Street or want to work on Wall Street.
And so what are some of your top career management and job search survival tips for financial professionals in today's environment?
Well, you know, in principle, there's a lot that's the same for both non-finance professionals as well as finance professionals. Everyone needs to have a clear target. You need to have a game plan. You need to be able to execute on that game plan. And you also need to stay focused so that you don't lose sight of what you're working towards. It's very easy to get discouraged in job search and to fall off the wagon, so to speak. So the goal, again, is to have a game plan, a story, and staying power. For Wall Street folks, there are a couple of differences. You really need to be able to convey your subject matter expertise. Crossing over within functions on Wall Street is often very difficult. Privacy is an issue for a lot of folks in that when people do lose their jobs or think they're going to lose their jobs, there's often heightened privacy and fear about disclosing that information. So sensitivity to job loss and privacy about information, especially in a very tough market when there are fewer opportunities, that information tends not to be as forthcoming. And another issue, and one that people often don't think about, is what I would refer to as shelf life. And that's how long you've been out in the market if you've been unemployed for a while. And the impression, and I use the word impression parenthetically, that one has diminishing brand value the longer you're out. And from my perspective, that's not the case because time can be filled productively. But in truth, that's often how people perceive time out.
In the book, you have an entire chapter that focuses on switching between the sell side and the buy side. And does that really speak to the fact that you've encountered a number of financial professionals with that as their goal?
Yes, absolutely. The buy side historically has been a very desirable destination for folks who've worked on the sell side, and for a lot of reasons, quality of life, often working for smaller institutions, and that can be very desirable. And with the market meltdown and large firms disappearing, it's also there's been a migration for folks wanting to hopefully stabilize their careers. Ironically, though, in this market where there's been a lot of job loss, there are a lot of folks on the buy side who are in transition. So there's increasing competition, not only for folks who want to make the move from the sell side to the buy side, but competing with people who are displaced on the buy side. And yes, I've worked with a lot of those folks over time.
Do you think that there are any stereotypes about the buy side and the sell side that might keep people from giving due consideration to which is a best fit for them?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I find that sometimes people go into this process not necessarily understanding what they need to do in order to make something happen. And so, for example, when I'm working with investment bankers who say to me, I've lost my job. What I really want to do most is work in private equity or work for a hedge fund. But if I have to, I'll take a job as an investment banker. And what they don't realize is that job search nowadays for any sort of job, it takes monumental effort. And so there's a naivete that oftentimes exists among some folks in terms of making the move to a buy-side position. Also, there's what I would refer to as sort of a short attention span with respect to how one views job search and the job search process. So when people don't get satisfaction immediately, they often revert to what they're most comfortable with, which is what they're most familiar with, the job that they've already done. So there's a tendency, if you've worked in investment banking, for example, and a job comes along quickly as an investment banker, you grab it because the time frame for finding a job on the buy side may take a lot longer.
Along those lines of, I guess we can call it, challenges in making the switch and needing to persevere through hard times, do you have specific advice for financial professionals who are in that transition and maybe being inundated with negative feedback or the impression that there aren't opportunities or other elements of that challenge that's in their face?
Well, yeah, actually, a couple of thoughts on that. And I'm, as you asked the question, I was just thinking, I think that Wall Street people, whether they're looking to do exactly what they've done on the sell side or they're wanting to move to the buy side, which requires extra special attention, you need to be absolutely clear on what you're positioning yourself for. What, why, what qualifies you, how your audience, whoever that audience is, will benefit. And that's got to be the foundation before you go live with your job search campaign. And often the biggest challenge for Wall Street professionals is they have a tendency to be hardwired to want or to make things happen quickly. So that means that they have the potential then to be discouraged easily if there are roadblocks and things don't happen quickly. From my perspective, job search is a marathon, and that means that you need to have a very solid foundation, a solid strategy in place, and you have to look towards the long term as your goal. It's a marathon, so we look towards long term and end result.
And you talked about having a strategy in place. What do you recommend in terms of, you know, maybe an outline of what that strategy is for professionals making the switch?
Well, actually, with all that's happening on Wall Street, some reports that it's improving, other reports that it may be double dipping. My suggestion always is that when people have been out for a while, that they need to reexamine how they've been presenting themselves, and that's really critical. And if you've been out for a while and you're looking, for example, on the buy side, you may be presenting yourself as weary when, in fact, the market doesn't care if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you've just about tapped out in terms of managing your job search. So you've got to rediscover that energy and that passion and that enthusiasm so that you're able to take it into the job search process. That is critical, especially so for folks who have been in job search since 2008 or 2009, and there is that accumulated weariness that needs to be understood, managed, so that it's not disruptive in one's job search.
In terms of outlining, say, the strategy for making it at a high level, you know, the steps one might take to make the switch.
Pretty straightforward. It's being clear on your target. If you're looking at the buy side specifically, what do you want to do on the buy side? And then you need a defensible strategy to explain why. You've got to be absolutely flawlessly convincing that you are not only qualified to take on that position, but that you can with conviction convey your potential to be successful in that role. And you've got to show, based upon your background, where those overlaps exist. So that logic needs to be absolutely flawless and eminently clear. You need to fine-tune your resume. And the story that you tell people needs to be able to convey both your value, what it is that you bring, and also your value proposition, which is how they will benefit based upon the skills and experience that you have. And you also need to be able to demonstrate why you should be crossing over. And that's all about strategy.
You mentioned the idea of telling your story a little bit. And
yes.
In looking through your book, you gave an example in there of the difference between stating your facts and telling your story. Could you speak a little bit about what that difference is and why it's important?
Well, you know, it's not enough to convey your knowledge. There are a lot of smart people out there who have similar credentials, experience, and you have the responsibility, you have to take that information and translate it for your audience so that they can understand why, given those qualifications, you want to make this move. So what needs to be invested in this equation is the want. So that way, whoever your audience is, they will see the transition as being seamless. So just having a set of qualifications and skills and experience is it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. What makes it sufficient is giving that information a sense of purpose, intention, some life, and conveying it with conviction. So, for example, if you are making the crossover and you really want to get somebody excited about you as a candidate, and say you've been a trader, work on an analysis that you want to share with folks. Take a company, analyze it, get feedback on it. See how people respond to both the analysis you've done, but also your determination, because what you're doing is you're showing people that not only are you wanting to make this switch, you're also committed to it. You're so committed that you prepared an analysis that you'd like to have discussion about.
Tell me, Roy, what are some of the biggest mistakes that financial professionals who are trying to switch between the sell side and the buy side are guilty of?
Well, as I mentioned before, we really need to convey our conviction and our passion for making the move. So what I often find are folks who are not staying current. They just want to make the move, but they haven't stayed on top of the market, on trends, on developments, on technologies that they need in order to demonstrate that they're vital. And another a challenge for some folks is that they prepare poorly or not at all. They wing it in interviews. And there is absolutely no tolerance for that when it comes to interviewing, especially if you're making a shift as big as one from the sell side to the buy side. Anticipating pushback, that's critical. You need to make sure that you have flawlessly scrubbed your resume, understand every gap, every disconnect, every move, especially the move that you want to make to the buy side, so that you're able to explain why all of the decisions were made, so that they don't trip you up. And we also need to be able to show that we're solutions focused. Even in making the transition, you need to show that your being in this new environment will allow life and work to happen more efficiently and more productively. So folks need to be flawless in their preparation and their execution, and that's sometimes an issue for folks on Wall Street because they tend to have short attention span. When you're moving to the buy side where you're going to be working with folks who have the CFA credential, those folks tend often to be very analytically oriented, so they're going to expect you to really convey a commitment to detail and information and preparation.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Roy. It's great speaking with you. And I have one last question. If listeners are interested in picking up a copy of your book, where should they go to find it?
Well, it's available at traditional bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and Borders, but it's probably a lot more efficient to buy it online at Amazon because it's discounted on Amazon, and it's, I think, shipped for free. So I take advantage of that.
Perfect. Well, thank you again. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. It was lovely to speak with you, Julia.
Copyright 2011, CFA Institute. No part may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without the express prior written permission of CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.